Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by and welcome to the Whitehaven Coal Quarterly Report Investor Briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to queue for a question, you will need to press zero followed by one on your telephone. Media, if you'd like to ask a question, please contact your normal contacts. Please note that this conference is being recorded today, 12th of January, 2016. I would now like to hand the conference over to your host today, Mr. Paul Flynn. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to calendar year 2016 and the December 2015 quarter report for Whitehaven. Look, I won't go into too many of these things in too great a detail, but I will go through the quarterly report as we've just released it and get to the question-and-answer session as soon as we can. But firstly, let me just go back and reiterate the guidance that we gave in December for everyone. So this is a pre-release in some way that we're just reaffirming that guidance. And on that basis, our EBITDA is our guidance we put out there at $100 million-$105 million for the first half of 2016. And certainly, that's been underpinned by cash margins that will exceed $13 per ton in that half, which has been a pretty good performance and consistent performance, I have to say, as the cost base has been able to be adjusted relative to price, although the Aussie dollar coal price has actually been relatively stable for some period of time now. As you know, production guidance was lifted by some margin, so we're now at 19.5-20.1 million tons at the upper end for the full financial year 2016. And that puts us well on our way to our path, as you recall. We did say 23 million tons by FY 2018, end of FY 2018, and this certainly puts us on the path for that. Critically, given all those changes, that does mean a return to profitability, which is very important to us, and as you would imagine. Certainly, we said that we're going to do that in the first full financial year 2016, but we've actually our guidance is that we'll reach that point for the first half, and certainly, there'll be a net debt reduction in the full financial year 2016. So just to reaffirm those important points for background for this quarter, but also for the full year. Now, in particular, nuances for the production report for this period. Narrabri, if you look at the calendar year, has had an outstanding year, 8.3 million tons of ROM coal for the full year. Certainly, that puts it at the top end of the queue in terms of output. So certainly, the top three underground mines in the country, which has been fantastic on a calendar year basis. Maules Creek, as you know, has been ramping up very cleanly, doing very well. And in fact, in December, we did actually run at the 8.5 million ton annualized rate, so ramping up nicely. ROM coal production there at Maules at 3.3 million tons for the half year certainly was one of the key points that's underpinned the revision to our managed ROM production guidance for the full year. Total ROM for the quarter at 5.4 million tons, 146% up on the previous corresponding period. The saleable coal production for the quarter, 4.9 million tons, over 100% better than the previous corresponding period. Coal sales for the quarter at 4.9 million tons, 67% up. The first quarter ROM production at the first half, I should say, 9.3 million tons for the full year certainly puts us on track to get ourselves within that guidance window of 19.5-20.1 that we've mentioned. Saleable coal production at the same number, 9.3, 63% up period to period. And coal sales at 9.4, 57% up during the previous corresponding period. Over the page to our managed coal ROM production at 5.4, again, compares very favorably to 2.2 in the previous period. Of course, there was a change out in the previous corresponding period, which gives rise to 146% change period on period. Managed coal production, you would imagine, does a similar thing at 108% at 4.9 versus 2.4. Our total coal sales at 4.9 for the period over 2.9 gives us 67% over. And again, the 9.4, I think, for managed total coal sales for the period was certainly a good result. If we come down to equity coal sales at just under 3.8 million tons for the quarter, that's 63% up on the previous corresponding period and 7.3 million tons for the half year to date, but certainly a pretty solid outcome. So all in all, very, very pleasing results. I think the mines have been performing well, and those numbers certainly bear that out. And being a clean quarter where there's no change out in it, you can certainly see the productive capacity of the business at at the managed level, say for instance at 5.4, that's certainly a good number, and should think about that number again for the next quarter, given that there's no change out at Narrabri in the next quarter either. On to safety, and whilst the activity levels have gone up quite significantly, we have had a bit of a blip in our safety, so that's certainly not where we would expect to see it, not where we've been accustomed to seeing, given the trajectory of improvement that we've seen in safety period on period. And whilst we are still significantly below the industry standards, we're certainly not satisfied with not continuing to make that progress, so we are going to redouble our efforts to put ourselves back on that improvement path in the coming quarters, and certainly across the whole year is our aspiration. From a coal sales perspective, again, the December quarter, 4.9 million tonnes per annum is certainly a good result. As you know, most of the coal sales coming out of Maules Creek have been thermal in nature. And as we guided before, we will see a change in the metallurgical to thermal mix. And certainly this quarter, that's been 10% met to 90 thermal. No change, in fact, in our met coal sales in our other mines. It's really just been the onset of the Maules Creek production in such volume, being thermal-based for the most part, certainly has swamped that percentage in the short term. But we'll see that correct as we move forward. In fact, first coal sales of met coal from Maules Creek had gone in this quarter, in the December quarter, which has been very positive. The price achieved for those met coal sales across the group, $65 US per tonne, is a fairly well-understood number, I suppose, given the commentary that's been going around met coal settlement prices. And certainly for the quarter that comes, we see that trading in that range, about $62 to $65 for the March quarter. Thermal coal, again, I much talked about stat, but at 52, 56 being the average for the GC Nuke Index for that period, Whitehaven achieved a premium above that at 54, 61 across the entirety of our thermal coal sales for the quarter, which is a great result considering we don't sell all of it at GC Nuke, as you know, because we do have some coal that goes into other markets such as Korea. And if you pull out the Maules Creek coal in particular and have a look at it and see what it does, we've been achieving on average about 11% premium above the GC Nuke price for our coal from Maules Creek thermal. So that's been certainly a tremendous result. And as this quality becomes a bigger feature of our total mix, you'll see that have an important premium, average premium that we've been able to achieve across the group will improve as Maules Creek continues to ramp up. Narrabri, as I say, has been performing very well, and the calendar year stats have been certainly fantastic at 8.3 million tonnes. We certainly think it puts it way up there in terms of the productive capacity of this mine versus any other mine in the country. And on a timely basis, we did receive our approval from the Department of Planning and Environment to lift the authorisation for the productive capacity of the Narrabri mine from its previous 8 million tonnes up to now 11 million tonnes per annum. Which is a good pointer to the potential of this mine. In fact, if you look at the ROM production for the quarter at 2.46 million tonnes for a quarter, unimpeded, as I say, by no change out during that period, you can certainly see what the productive capacity of the mine can be if it continues at the rate that it goes. But looking at the back end of the year, certainly this next quarter we'll see with no change out, but as you know, there are two change outs in this year. So the last quarter, June, we'll see a change out occur. Our drive really is to try and accelerate through the balance of this panel and try and bring that forward as much as we can so we actually can bring some productive weeks into this financial year, the back end of this year. Development rates have been very good at Narrabri, as you know, and that pattern of behaviour has continued. At 5.4 kilometres for the quarter. I mean, that has been certainly a very good result and certainly gives us very good confidence in terms of the continuity of operations as we move into panels which are larger over time than what we're currently in. So more development work needs to get done per period in order to be able to maintain that float, but we're certainly comfortably doing that at the moment. Maules, as you know, well, what a difference 12 months makes in terms of Maules Creek. 12 months ago, if we reflect a little bit back on the quarterly release, I think we were just celebrating the first tonnes being railed off site on the 17th of December. So we had a construction effort which was about 89%, maybe 90% complete at that time. Obviously had a bypass circuit which could deliver coal to directly to the train that was waiting. but didn't have the ability to stockpile, reclaim and stockpile, certainly didn't have the ability to wash, whereas within a short period of time, not only have we delivered on the balance of that that construction, but we've obviously commercialised the site as of the 1st of July, and certainly a hell of a lot's changed in a relatively short period of time. But the ramp-up goes very well, so those ROM and saleable coal production numbers that you see, the 1.7448 and 1.687 respectively, are pretty good results. Obviously, there's no previous commercial production before, so no period-on-period comparison there. But for the first half, about 3.3 and 3.2 in terms of ROM coal and saleable coal production, they've been pretty good results. As I said, December actually saw us on an annualised rate of about 8.5 million tonnes. Now that the extra gear that we've ordered is obviously on-site, installed and demonstrating its productive capacity. Sales for the quarter and the half year, 1.58 and 3.2, have been pretty good numbers respectively. And as a result, you know, we've elevated our guidance to 7.4 to 7.6 million tonnes of ROM for the year. Met coal sales, as I mentioned, have now commenced, and feedback has been very positive for us on that. So we're going to continue to drive to penetrate this market further and obviously move over time to increase the proportion of met coal that it bears of our total production over time. The workforce at Maules continues to ramp as we are ramping the site, and now over 330 employees on site, some 50 Indigenous people, certainly the vast majority of our people working in and living in the area, which is fabulous. And certainly we continue to believe that that's absolutely the right answer for the community and for the company from a cost perspective, and certainly allowing our people to go home at the end of every day rather than having a fly-in, fly-out basis. Certainly is the superior offering for the community and the employment proposition as we see. On to our other open cut mines, and largely performed in line with our plans, which has been good. Tarawonga's got off to a very good start for the year. So ROM coal production there in the first half at just over 1 million tonnes has been pretty positive. And coal sales for the quarter at 464,000 versus looks pretty good relative to the previous year. And for the half year, just under 1 million tonnes for our coal sales. Certainly bodes well for the back end of this financial year. Rocglen has put in a solid effort and a little bit under budget there, but we are getting through the a period of overburden removal that will uncover significant coal, as we did last year for the second half of this financial year. Werris is going through a similar period, although put on a pretty good start in the year, so pleased with that, but as predicted, we are going through a little bit more overburden removal relative to coal production at this time. And as those of you who've been watching the company's performance, particularly at Werris, you'll know that once we get into the F&G seams in the latter part of the financial year, a lot of tonnes come out pretty quickly. So all mines remain on target to meet their ROM production guidance, which is very pleasing. Work at Vickery continues at a pace. There's a significant body of work that needs to go into the various assessments for groundwater impact, flora and fauna, cultural heritage, obviously sensitive agricultural land and surface water in the area. That's a significant body of work which is certainly occupying a lot of effort at the moment, but going well and certainly no red flags for us at this point in time for that, so that's quite pleasing. We think this work will allow us to lodge an EIS for the enlarged project in June of this financial year, so 2016, which would be a good result. And as we've been saying, we certainly wouldn't be looking to bring Vickery on before Maules Creek is fully ramped. Certainly that's our thinking in terms of when this thing might feature in the sequence of the company's growth path. In the corporate section for our report, we have put a little bit of data in there just on our corporate facilities because we have been receiving some questions in regards to that. So rather than try and answer those questions individually, we thought we'd put some extra information in here for you. Obviously, that was a very successful refinancing that occurred in February, March of 2015 with 14 very supportive banks built on a term loan, revolver and guarantee tranche facility, which serves us very well and is a bullet payment, as you know, in July 2019. There are three featured covenants in that package, an ICR, a gearing test and also a net worth test, all of which are not applicable at this point in time. In fact, the first time that we'll have covenant supply to us will be in about a year's time, about 14 months' time from now, when we'll need to meet our ICR test. The facility, as you know, has been drawn to $900 million. There's been no draws during this quarter. So that leaves us a $300 million headroom just there, plus another $100 million in cash, obviously, we carry in the bank from any one point in time. So significant capacity for us, but certainly we consider that internally 30 June to have been our peak debt scenario. And as we said in our guidance, over the course of this financial year, we expect to be reducing net debt period on period. Certainly as we get to that that period when covenant tests become relevant, we certainly feel quite comfortable that we'll be able to meet those tests as and when they apply. Certainly the thinking that went into sculpting this facility to allow for the ramp up of Maules Creek and the improvement of our credit quality certainly has certainly will allow us to do all those things and more as we continue to grow. As we normally do, we put in a summary there for our FX position, and as you would imagine, exploration expenditure is not particularly meaningful during this period, and certainly in this quarter was no different. So in wrapping up, look, I think a very solid production period for us. As I say, this is a clean quarter in terms of no change outs at Narrabri. So it does give you a glimpse into what the productive capacity of the business is, and pretty much sets your guidance also in terms of what you think the managed ROM coal production for this next quarter will be. As I say, the June quarter does have a change out at Narrabri again in it. So in some ways, the first quarter of this year will look somewhat like the fourth quarter of this year, although, having said that, as we know, Werris tends to churn out a lot more tonnes in the second half of the year, and as Maules Creek is ramping in particular, certainly we're going to put more tonnes into the second half of the year than we put into the first half of the year, so which will underpin us pretty solid year. So I'll conclude my remarks now and hand back to the operator, and we'll open the lines for some discussion. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to queue for a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your first question comes from Peter O'Connell from Shaw and Partners. Thank you, Peter. Please ask your question.
Good morning, Paul, and Happy New Year, and congratulations on a good result. And on the screen about 5 minutes ago, you were the only major miner with a positive share price performance today, so well done. My questions are twofold. Firstly, you talk about cash margin. I just want to make sure we're thinking the same. Can you just define cash margin, what's in it and what's not in it, just so we're on the same page? And secondly, I just wanted to ask about sensitivities. And I know what you said about the first half because you pretty much banked that, but thinking ahead, and we all do sensitivity analysis, and looking at the forward curve for global coal and where the prices are for the current quarter for met, it's a more challenging second half than first half. You know, how should I think about that, and what other cost levers do you have for the second half to try and keep the profitability positive for the second half in line with the first half?
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Brady. And thanks for the thanks for the acknowledgement. Yes, it's a rare day indeed, I suppose, when we're outperforming the other major miners, but we'll take it. Admittedly, off a relatively unimpressive base, I'd have to say. But look, the cash margin itself, when we look at those numbers that we've given you, what we've tried to do is make it relatively simple for you, so that when you multiply it by our equity tons, that cash margin will largely lead you to our EBITDA number. And so that will then tell you what's in and what's not. So out of that EBITDA number, then you need to take off the various things for non-cash and funding. Importantly, tax obviously is not particularly an issue for us, obviously, at this point in the cycle. We do have a significant tax shield of over $1 billion, so we won't be tax payable for some period. But the key items there, once you apply that that margin by the tonnes, we'll give you that EBITDA number, so it's really just funding costs, and then the non-cash charges to the D&A that then feature in that afterwards.
Just to be clear, Paul, CapEx, sustaining capital, that's not, it shouldn't be in that number. Is it in the number or not?
No, sustaining CapEx, you need to take that out as well. So that's absolutely right, Pete.
Okay, that's good. Got it. Fine.
So our guidance generally there has been, you know, you need a buck a ton for the open cuts, and you certainly need $2 a ton for Narrabri.
Got it. Thanks.
Now the second one was is really your, I suppose, your outlook question in the second half versus what we've just done in the first half, or what we've confirmed to you that we've done financially on the 5th of February when we release our half year results. Yes, look, there's no doubt that the second half, you know, the curve does does look a little challenged, but it has looked that way for some time now. And in fact, when you get to the settlement month, that backwardation that we see there just hasn't really materialised in its full form when you actually get to the month of settlement, which is a good thing to be able to say. The currency has come off, as you know, so the currency as it is today is certainly better than what we've experienced for this half, I would say, and you'll see that when we put out the results on the 5th of February. But cost performance, I have to say, has been very good, and as we've been ramping up volume, we're certainly seeing more efficiencies out of our infrastructure commitments, which has been very positive for us. But we've also been able to improve, in-pit costs as well. So we won't go into the various levers that we're pulling there, but we're certainly seeing an improvement in our costs, and we've been able to defend ourselves, I think, quite well from overall a reduction in US dollar coal prices. But having come back to my previous comment, the A dollar thermal coal price, and let's just deal with that for the start, has been relatively stable. So where are we today? 48.50 or 48, just under 49 at 69, something at 70 cents. It still brings you over the $70 mark in Aussie dollar terms for thermal coal. As it relates to met, I mean, this is obviously a unique feature of Whitehaven. Our met coal sales are actually quite lucrative, even at these levels, given the lower yield losses that we suffer. Obviously, the transportation is our challenge in terms of the additional cost that comes from being further away from the port, but everybody understands the cost of that. But we can certainly produce the PCI and semi-soft product even at these prices, and we're experiencing a superior margin by doing that for those met coal sales than we are even with thermal. So whilst, of course, we think it's a crime that such good quality coal is being sold at these prices, even the met coal sales, we're certainly induced to make as much met coal we can, even at these prices, just because of that yield loss, as I say, is much less than everybody else. And normally, we would say it's about half of other people's yield loss, and then the more extreme examples, ours is only a third.
Okay. Thank you, Paul.
Your next question comes from Lynn Lowcock from UBS. Thank you. Please ask your question.
A few questions, if I could. First one is just, you've given a little bit of detail, obviously, about the debt facility, and thanks for that. But I was just wondering, could you be a little bit more explicit about the test that's due in about 14 months, just to give us a little bit of, comfort that, how we calculate it, potentially. Second question is, just interested in your comments on met coal realisation. You got 65, as you said, but your guidance only the other day was 68-72. Just wondered why you were so low. And then thirdly, just a point of clarification. I heard you say you'll be net debt lower at the end of the year, but then I thought you also just said in your answer to Peter was, period on period, you would see a reduction. So if I take $13 a tonne, take out interest, capex, the one-off tax payment, some creditor unwind, working capital, did you generate cash over the last 6 months? Thanks.
Right. I'm just writing those questions down. Then three questions usually demands a meeting, mate. But anyway, Kevin, do you want to just kick off on the first one in terms of the facility?
Yeah, sure, Paul. Look, happy to provide a little bit more detail. I think we've said to the market on many occasions that we've got three covenants in this facility. The first two we said you should worry about, which is gearing and net worth. The third one we said when we built the facility, we were pretty mindful of not where we expected coal prices to go, but we thought they may go on a bad day. We were also mindful of underlying performance of the business, excluding Maules Creek. And we were very mindful of the fact that once Maules Creek starts to ramp up, the contribution there is the piece that should lead to improved cash flows. So what we did when we structured the facility was to write an ICR that starts in December 16 at a number that's about double what our interest expense is. And then that rate grows over the next couple of years as Maules Creek grows to It's not double that two. In fact, it's less than double that two. It ends up about three. So we would expect to see over 2 years that ratio grow, but we would also expect to see Maules Creek grow from 6 million tonnes in this period, where we've just done it, through to 12 million tonnes saleable in 2018. And that's really the methodology behind it. So when we put in that note that talked about the ICR test in 14 months, we're mindful of the fact that at about $50 million, which is the peak interest we have, that EBITDA number will generate more than enough to cover service of debt and to cover sustaining capex. So does that answer your question, Glenn?
It half does, Kevin. Can I just ask you to maybe just be a little bit more explicit around, is it the trailing 12-month EBITDA as well at that point?
All of those facilities are trailing 12 months. It's always trailing 12 months, Glenn.
Okay. All right, thanks.
So the met coal question, I think, was the other one, Ben, was number two, wasn't it?
Yep.
67 to 68 versus 62 to 65? I think the only response I'll make to that one is really that if I just assume that we're at 60, let's just say 62, just for the sake of the argument, and we're at 70 cents, I mean, that's about 88.5 Aussie dollars for met coal sales. And if you take your royalty out of that, you're around $82. So $82 relative to the cost of producing that that product, and I'm talking about Maules, say, for instance, is that the one that's going to provide, obviously, the upside from the met coal side of things? Even at that level, you're still talking in a range. I'll give you a range just for the sake of some guidance here. But even at that level, you're still talking $15 to $20 margin there for met coal. And so that'll give you a bit of a steer in terms of what we're seeing cost-wise. As far as period-on-period comparisons versus the full year, and I understand the nuance there that you're referring to, and the answer to that is yes, we did make cash in this 6 month period. So even after it won't be huge, but certainly even after dealing with the one offs, as you know, and you've mentioned a couple of them there, wrap up the Maules Creek creditors, and the tax payment that everyone knew we had to make. We have made some cash during the period, yes. Sorry, I just faded out there. Is that...
We can move to the next question, I think, operator. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Your next question comes from Paul Young from Deutsche Bank. Thank you for waiting. Please ask your question.
Thank you. Happy New Year, guys.
And to you, Paul.
Yep. Paul, first question, just on your de-gearing. If you look at your internal projections on the rate of de-gearing, are you still comfortable with that? And secondly, beyond Vickery, a potential sell down of Vickery once you get environmental approval for a larger project, have you looked at, or are you looking at, other ways of de-gearing more rapidly? And a few examples could be, you know, further royalties at Narrabri, or, you know, potential sell down at Maules Creek. That's the first question. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Paul. Look, we are comfortable with the rate of de-gearing that we can see, certainly with these numbers, and the level that we thought about comfortably would be 300 over 3 years, is what we've said. We'd be comfortable with. I think it'll actually do better than that, but just to be conservative, 300 over 3 years would be where we would see ourselves going, absent obviously anything from the disposition perspective that you mentioned. Vickery sell down, certainly that would be the case, and as I say, once we've lodged that larger approval, we'll be certainly going through a process there with the various interested parties who've expressed an interest in that, to certainly form a joint venture and certainly put some cash in the bank as a result of that sell down. The key there, I think, for us is just because timing is of the opening of Vickery We certainly won't be bound to a particular date for the opening of Vickery, but certainly, as I said, our thinking today is that in the absence of something else that might change, it certainly fits in after Maules Creek is fully ramped. So you should think that more of 19 being a period for Vickery. In terms of other ways of de-gearing, yes, we are looking at those things. There are various options, as you mentioned already. We're quite comfortable with where we're at in terms of being able to de-gear at a base level. But like you say, if you want to accelerate those things, there are a range of different options that you might look at. I wouldn't say that we're an active seller of any of those assets in that regard. But by the same token, good opportunities do present themselves from time to time. So if the opportunity presents itself to accelerate that, then you, of course, would look at it. That's certainly we've talked about this once or twice before, where other parties have come to have a look at Maules, say, for instance, and we have spoken about that in the past, but you want to make sure you're getting the right outcome. There are some good value markers in the market at the moment which assist that conversation. But as I say, we're not an active seller in that regard because we're comfortable with the ability of the business to de-gear the way it is. But by the same token, we're not silly either.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, it comes, I guess, down to maximising NPV, the trust in maximising NPV, and maximising share price performance. So how do you think about that as far as maybe doing a deal slightly below NPV, but well above what the market is valuing at the moment?
Yeah, we understand that. We understand that balance well, Paul. So, we're not agnostic one way or the other about what we're doing here. I mean, maximising the value for our shareholders is the game. So, whilst we all might like to hold on to each percentage point of every asset that we've got through the cycle, I don't think there are no blind spots here, if I can say that to you.
Right. And just further to the whole de-gearing angle or drive there, Paul, I mean, looking at the in particular some of your growth projects, and one being the panel widening project in Narrabri, which I think is, $40, $50 million project or thereabouts, do you have the option of actually leasing that equipment? Is that an
Yes, we do. Yep. Yep, we do. So we're looking at all those options, Paul. Yeah, no, we're certainly looking at that. There may be a small piece. There's export credit facilities that also can play a part there for us as well, leasing arrangements as well. Our piece of that is about, call it $55 million, our share of that broader upgrade of not just the widening of the face, but also the belts and braces that go with that as well. We're looking at those things rather than using our own cash. That's correct.
Right. And just last one, just expanding that a bit more then, would it just be the long wall? The chocks, et cetera, could you do all of that 55 as an export credit facility?
It depends on the foreign content that goes with that. So various makers bring, obviously, with the export credit facility capability with them, some don't. But our focus is to make sure we minimise the cash out from the business during that time, because even though we think, even the bit that we don't think is going to be subject to leasing, while small, and can be done easily through operational cash flow, we're looking at opportunities to minimise any cash out of the business in that regard.
Okay, great. All right, thanks, guys. Looking forward to the result on 5th of February. Cheers.
Thanks, Paul.
Your next question comes from Peter O'Connell from Shaw and Partners. Thank you, Peter. Please ask your question.
Thanks, Paul. Two follow-ups about asset values. Firstly, about Maules Creek. Just to make sure we're all on the same page with the asset value of Maules Creek as it ramps up. I know we had this discussion at the full-year result on that call. Any sense or guidance you can give us as to how we should think about depreciation for that expanded asset base? Because that could wrap around this issue of profitability for the full year in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And my second question relates to, again, asset value. I'm not wanting you to talk about NPVs unless you chose to, but your book value versus your market cap is an extraordinary divergence. I think you're trading about 0.25, 0.3 times book value. The only company that's trading at a deep discount for obvious reasons, but the market's never wrong, or so the market thinks. What's the market implying about your value, and how should I think about impairment testing going forward? And does that back end of Maules Creek value meet those tests on that basis? And does that feed into your covenant testing on that net worth basis?
Yep. Okay. Thanks, Peter. Look, I think, I mean, it's really part of the same question. I'll let Kevin answer the depreciation question. But in terms of NPV market cap and the intersection with impairment, say, for instance, I mean, look, it's a little, it's an interesting time. There's no doubt about it. You know, and there's not a week goes by that somebody, analyst somewhere, doesn't put out a price deck which sort of, you know, looks pretty pretty sobering. Having said that, my biggest criticism of all those price decks that I see people put out is they don't really seem to have, I think, cycled through all the iterations that they need to do in order to think their scenario through on a long-term basis. And when I say that, I mean, if you want to put out a coal price that says long-term pricing is $55, that's fine. I don't mind you doing that. But what no one seems to have done the work that then goes on to describe what happens at $55. So obviously, at $55, there's a hell of a lot of mines around the world that close. And then what happens as a result of that? I mean, $55 in perpetuity, you know, doesn't seem to me to make sense, given what we know to be the physical demands, particularly in our region, and particularly for the type of coal that Australia sells, and particularly for the type of coal that Whitehaven sells. So we certainly see growth going through there, which doesn't seem to be factored into some of these analyses. I mean, clearly there's a bunch of different value judgments that have also been made in certain transactions that we could reference that go to your question about NPV versus market cap. The market is always right, as you say, but then the market also undersells and oversells on a regular basis, and we understand the concern with coal prices being the way they are and the capital structure of the organisation. But if you look at, say, for instance, you know, the Bengala transaction just recently, I mean, obviously the market thinks that New Hope were wrong. If you look at our market cap, they obviously think New Hope were wrong in paying what they paid for that asset. You know, that would be a conclusion, and I'm sure New Hope don't think that they're wrong. You know, I think that's a good asset. They've paid, obviously, a decent price for it. But, you know, at $10, you know, $10 a tonne, that's a significant price to pay. If you apply that $10 per tonne and even just took off our gearing, then you obviously come up to a number which is vastly different from what our market cap is today. I mean, there's been a number of other transactions. Our friends next door have sold two pieces of Boggabri in more recent times to other Japanese players, and certainly those numbers have been around the same number, $10 a tonne. You know, Claremont was the same, although that one's a little bit more dated in a price environment which was a little bit better than what we are today, but $12 a tonne as they paid back then versus the $10 we've seen in more recent examples. So, look, there's no doubt in my mind there's a disconnect that you're pointing to. There's no doubt. And, you know, as a result, it's been fertile ground for people who are wanting to take an alternate view and position themselves in that way. But the reality of it is the business is in good shape. It's performing pretty well. It's delevering at the bottom of the cycle. It's going to record a net profit at this point in time of the cycle when few are. And you'll see the underlying substance of the business should bear out a return to, you know, what we would see as being more reasonable share price performance. That's a long answer, but I'll leave the depreciation question for Kevin.
Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, no, happy to. So, Pete, if you go back to the annual report from last year, you would have seen the marketable reserves for Maules Creek are about 350 million tonnes. If you go back through the Aston Scheme booklet with Whitehaven, you'd have seen what the purchase price was there. So, in effect, what you've got to work your way through is the maths. Regardless of all of that, when we've made these statements around profitability, that is using that depreciation rate that we're talking about. So when we get to the 5th of February, we'll be able to give you a little bit more colour and break down on what that actual number looks like across the business in dollars per tonne and how we're adding that and how it works. But I go back to the statement that says, you know, we run the forecast, we have the view on where the depreciation falls, and the advice around being profitable at the bottom of the cycle, as Paul said, holds.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate that. And I just, more as by way of feedback, because I did the numbers the way you've just said, and I get that.
Yep.
And I look at the peer group numbers in the market, and there's a huge disparity between the D&A forecast for this year, which is kind of part of my question. I know we'll get the answer probably on 5 February, so I'm happy to wait, but I just wanted to flag that.
Okay. We'll make sure we cover
Thanks.
It.
Thanks.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press 0 followed by 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. I would now like to hand the conference back to today's presenter, Mr. Flynn. Thank you, sir. Please continue.
Thank you, operator. And thanks, everyone, for taking the time to dial in. A solid quarter from us. We think it's been a very good building block for what we think is a transitional year for us. And as I say, a couple of weeks' time, you'll have to wait for the full financial results for the 5th of February. So we'll be able to provide some more colour to those questions. I know some of you were dying to ask. But thanks again. If you've got any questions other than these, you know where to find us. And we'll look forward to catching up with you with the release of the half-year results. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.